with Giovanni? Because it seemed ridiculous to her that she hadn't been with Giovanni. She should have been. Her apartment would still be intact, and Pietro wouldn't have lost his deli.
Don't.
Vittorio's voice was low. He took her arm and indicated she make her way back to the trapdoor. There's no point in wondering what would have happened had you been with Giovanni. How could you know I was thinking that? Your face is an open book. I can read every expression. Strange. When her brother had always told her she was difficult to read and would make a good poker player, Vittorio was definitely an enigma. Chapter 17. A bath had never felt so wonderful. Sasha had spent a long time in the shower, hoping to get rid of the smoke smell. The water pouring over her had felt like heaven on her tired, sore muscles, but nothing felt like luxuriating in the bath. The water came up high and was just the perfect temperature. Steam rose, and with it the perfumed scent of candy apple with a dash of cinnamon. How Giovanni knew that was her favorite scent, she didn't know, or care. She just breathed it in and let it transport her far away from the reality of the night. Her head rested on a very comfortable pillow, and her hair was wound up in a tight spa wrap. She opened her mouth, and Giovanni obligingly put a fork full of beef stroganoff in. The sauce seemed to explode in a myriad of flavors on her taste buds. How he'd managed to get such a five-star meal delivered to his home at such a crazy hour, she had no idea. But she was okay with indulging. He put another bite to her lips, and she sighed with happiness. She didn't know how she could go from being terrified for her brother, losing everything she owned, finding out her stalker really wanted her dead, to complete bliss. "I think I could live here," she stated. Giovanni grinned at her. "That's the idea, baby. If I knew it would take beef stroganoff to convince you, I would have had the chef fix it for you the day I met you. I'm talking about the bathtub, living in the bathtub." His eyebrows shot up, and he removed the fork just before her lips could close and ate it himself. "Wait, the stroganoff is going a long way to showing me the error of my ways," she hastily amended. "I should have moved in, no questions asked, and accepted every little thing you offered me." He smirked.
"It is that good, isn't it?"
He fed her another bite. "Stefano found the chef in New York and had to offer him a fortune to relocate. The man makes more money than our bank does, but he's worth every penny." "I'm sorry," Sasha said, because she had to apologize. It had been weighing on her since they'd entered his home, and he'd been waiting on her hand and foot, as if she was the most precious thing in his world. "I should have come here with you. I don't know what got into me. It was never you, Giovanni. I was scared for you, for Sandlin and for myself. I was also very angry and wanted to strike out at someone. Not just anyone. Whoever is doing this, manipulating all of us. But I made you my convenient target, and I'm really sorry." He leaned down and brushed a kiss over her forehead. "Sasha, I'm angry. Who wouldn't be? Of course you needed time to sort things out. You haven't been with me that long. Seeing me with Meredith..."
"Please don't," she said softly, ashamed. "I knew Meredith was the one doing all the kissing, and I don't much care what the tabloids say. I never believed them anyway. Long before I ever met you, I didn't read them because I knew mostly they were filled with bullshit. I took everything out on you, and that was wrong of me. I put you in danger. I put myself in danger. It was silly, and I'm not a silly woman. I'm intelligent, and I usually think things through. I was being emotional instead of logical." He fed her another bite of stroganoff.
"Are you back to being logical?"
Her eyebrows shot up. "Sitting in a perfumed bath, being fed the most wonderful meal I've ever eaten by a very handsome man? No, babe. I'm pretty sure this falls under the category of fantasy, but I'll take it."
"Do you plan to sleep in there?"
His laughter teased every one of her senses, bringing her own joy to life. She loved his smile, the way it lit up his eyes. "Is there a way to keep the water hot all day?"
"Not happening. You're sleeping with me," he decreed, and fed himself two bites of the stroganoff in a row.
She narrowed her eyes. Stop eating all the food. Share. Which wasn't quite fair, since he'd given her the lion's portion already. And if I'm in bed with you, I doubt there will be much sleeping, and I'm exhausted. If you're exhausted, baby, I'll do all the work. I don't mind. He fed her another bite. The food was so delicious, she closed her eyes to savor it. If you're working on me, I won't be able to just lie there quietly. I can tie you up. Make sure you don't move an inch. I know you worked on a cattle ranch, so you'll recognize my skills when you see them. My brother Rico is a rigger, a good one. He's been teaching me, and I have to admit, I'm pretty damn good with knots. I won't mind showing off my skills. She looked at him from under her lashes, giving him her best scowl. I'm not familiar with that term, rigger. What the heck is a rigger? In some circles, Rico might be known as a rope master. He has certain skills with knots. He creates art with rope on the human body. His particular skills can be transferred to tying prisoners in remarkable and sometimes painful ways, or to the other end of the spectrum, which would be erotic bondage. She sat up straighter, one hand going to her throat. Are you telling me Rico practices bondage with Mariko? She's his rope model for Shibari, so I would assume they would also practice erotic bondage together, but I've never been in their bedroom and don't plan to be. Mariko looks so sweet and demure. She's a tigress. You should see her in action when she's working. No nonsense with that woman. She gets the job done fast and efficiently. She was trained as a rider as well, but in Japan. Her life wasn't easy. Rico adores her. They're pretty much inseparable. She took her time with the next bite, chewing it thoroughly. He tipped his head to one side. What are you doing? Contemplating the merits of being tied up, so I can't move while you indulge your every whim. And you would. I know you. You'd have a field day with my body. He skimmed his finger down her throat and traced over the swell of both breasts, before trailing down to her nipple. If I had you tied up where you couldn't move, I'd make you admit that your body belongs to me whenever we go to bed. She rolled her eyes. There it is right there. The reason I'm reluctant to let you have your way. You think I'm your plaything. He frowned. Aren't you? You have that hot little body, and no one else gets to touch it but me. I'm pretty sure we've established you were made for me, put on this earth just for my sole pleasure. She laughed. You are so crazy. That's not true at all. It's the other way around. He managed to look genuinely puzzled. It is. How so? He put the plate to one side and circled the impressive girth of his cock. This belongs to you? She nodded. I'm afraid so, Giovanni. All mine. In fact, now that I've had my meal, I may just demand dessert. I don't know. I think you're a little mixed up. She couldn't take her eyes off the sight of him, sitting on the wide edge of the bathtub, his hand sliding over his shaft with a lazy fist. She loved the way he looked. She loved the fact that he was so easy about sex. She'd been raised to believe sex was natural, a part of life that was fun with your partner, and there were no limits as long as both consented. She liked that Giovanni enjoyed it and was willing to have fun and be adventurous. Come here, she enticed. Get out of there and lie on the bed. He turned the knob to allow the water to drain out of the tub. The sinful gleam in his eyes excited her. Her sex clenched, and her breast suddenly ached. She was so tired, and yet just that look, just the sight of him sitting there naked. His cock, gloriously erect, could wipe out the exhaustion. I don't know how I could have been so silly, she murmured aloud, thinking she could leave him, thinking she wanted to leave him. She stood up slowly, letting the water run off her. She'd shaved in the shower, feeling deliciously wicked, baring her mound so she could feel every stroke of his tongue. She felt sexy and wanton as she stepped out of the tub to be enveloped by the thick, soft towel he put around her shoulders. Braid your hair. It will be wet when I wake up. That's all right. Braid it. She dropped the towel on the floor and undid the spa towel. She liked that he watched her every movement. That made her aware of her body. The lift of her breasts as she raised her arms to separate her hair into three sections. She had thick, curly hair, and it wasn't easy, especially when he crouched down next to her thighs and licked at the perfumed drops running down her legs. Fingers of desire danced up and down her thighs. Her sex reacted, clenching hotly. Still, she managed to braid her hair quickly and secure it with the tie he handed her. She tried not to hurry into the bedroom, but she wanted him suddenly with such a deep need she could barely keep from flinging herself at him. She saw the heavy drapes were pulled over the privacy screens. One small light, a dim spray of gold, came from the ceiling light directly over the middle of the bed. She stretched out under it, watching his face the entire time. There was no way to put into words the way she felt, lying there under that golden spotlight, the rays beaming out over her body, displaying every naked curve to him. His expression showed his appreciation, the way his gaze moved hotly over her, the way the sensual lines of lust carved deeper into his face so that he looked as if he was the very definition of sin. Her heart accelerated, and she suddenly couldn't lie still, her hips rocking gently in anticipation. She wanted to look at his body. It was so beautiful, so masculine, but all she could do was watch his face as his gaze traveled over her. In that moment, she felt truly his, as if she really had been born for him, as if he was so hungry for her, no one else could possibly do for him. Only her. Only Sasha Provis. He looked at her as if he was the big bad wolf about to devour her ravenously. He reached out one hand, his eyes never leaving the rise and fall of her breasts as he stroked caresses over the curves. Every brush of his fingers sent heat curling through her body. She found she liked the fact that she was tired and felt lazy and yet sensuous as she lay there in the soft glow of the light. "I want to be yours, Giovanni," she admitted. His mouth curved just a little, as if her admission meant something to him. "I like that you want to be mine, Sasha. You're so damn beautiful. Sometimes I can't believe you're real. The fact that you're in my bedroom, in my bed, is still shocking to me." She liked that, too. Giovanni had every reason to be arrogant, and to others, she knew he seemed that way. But with her, he was different, and that meant something to her. Lying on the bed with a few drops of water still clinging to her skin, his gaze hot as hell as it moved over her, brought her nipples to a peak and sent hot liquid gathering at the V of her legs. She swiped a finger through the liquid and lifted it up toward his mouth. At once he bent his head and drew her finger into his mouth. He was sexy, the way he looked at her. Carnal sin, his very expression. She dug her heels into the bed and shifted her body around so she could hang her head slightly off the bed. "Come here, honey. I need to feel you in my mouth." Giovanni stared down at the perfection of the woman enticing him, seducing him. He didn't understand how it had all come about, how he'd managed to find her, his woman. Perfect for him. She never shied away from anything in the bedroom. She made her demands and expected him to do so as well. She reveled in his demands of her. He moved around the bed and brought both hands to frame her face. "I love watching my cock disappear down your throat. It's the sexiest thing imaginable." She gave an adorable pout. "Why are you just standing there out of my reach?" Her gaze moved over his hand, the one he circled his cock with. He did it deliberately, staying just out of her reach. He waited, knowing her, knowing what she would try next. She reached for him, and he caught her hand, whipped the soft cotton rope out from under the bed and lashed it around her wrist, flipped her over, caught her other hand, and tugged it behind her back so he could knot the two together. Putting one knee gently in the middle of her back, he caught her ankle and drew it up so he could tie one leg to her hands. He flipped her back over and reached for the other leg. That one he stretched out from her body and tethered it to the bedpost. "What are you doing? I'm not a calf." But she was laughing. "No, you're not," he agreed. He pulled her to the edge of the bed again so her head could tilt over the side. "Now you're my woman, ready and willing to do anything I want. I'm always ready and willing to do anything you want. I've got interesting ideas. Some might shock you. He leaned over her, his chest sliding over her breasts, his cock filling her mouth as he reached with both hands to hold her little flower open for the exploration of his tongue. Her cry was muffled around his cock. He hadn't given her much time to catch a breath before he'd stuffed her mouth. He was big, and her lips had to stretch to accommodate him. Still, he pushed deep to feel the amazing suction of her mouth and the lash of her tongue. He held himself there, letting her suck hard, feeling the heat of her mouth wrapped around him like a silken fist. He pulled back, not all the way out, and then pushed deep again. When he pushed into her, he stabbed deep with his tongue, his finger flicking her clit. She cried out around his cock, her hips bucking, but she couldn't go anywhere, not tied, and not with the weight of his body holding hers down. He lifted his head as he eased back to give her a chance to breathe. As he waited for her to draw in air, he pinched her clit gently. Most of the nerve endings were there on the sides, and the breath exploded out of her. "I want to buy you jewelry for here, too," he whispered and kissed her clit. "You're so sensitive, and you'll like the stimulation." He pushed his cock back into her mouth before she could answer him. "Suck hard, baby." He proceeded to do the same. He began to move his hips, a slow indulgence, pushing deeper, drawing back and pushing deeper again. She caught his rhythm and worked with him until he thought the top of his head might come off. He worked her hot little channel, drawing honey and spice, playing with her clit, getting all sorts of ideas on how he could enhance her pleasure as he did so. Knowing he wouldn't last if he kept it up, he reluctantly withdrew from her mouth and stood up. "Wait." Sasha glared at him. "That was mine. I wanted it all." "Such a greedy girl. You're supposed to be lying back, exhausted, remember? I was nice and gave you a taste of dessert like you asked, but you told me I had to do all the work." He pulled her around to the center of the bed again. This time he untied the leg that was stretched out and once more flipped her onto her stomach. "I like being able to just put you in any position I like." He dragged pillows over and shoved them under her hips to raise her ass. He rubbed it. "Have I told you how much I love your ass? Because I do. I dream about it sometimes, and all the things I can do to it." "I'm not certain that bodes well for me." There was laughter in her voice. "You'll be very careful of what you choose to do. You're going to have to go to sleep sometime, and what goes around comes around." His hand smacked her left cheek. "Are you threatening me?" He caught her free ankle and added it to the tie at the small of her back. Both legs were drawn up at the knee, so she essentially was on her knees, laid out over the high stack of pillows. "Well, yes, but it was more like a promise. And I'm not so certain about jewelry on my clit, crazy man. Can I just say, ouch?" His fingers slid into her. "If you said ouch, it isn't on right. It isn't for pain, it's for pleasure. You're going to have to learn to trust me. I'm not into the lifestyle, but with you, I want to play. Let me have my playtime, woman." She laughed again, and then gasped as his mouth was back between her legs. Her entire body jerked as he took his time claiming every inch of her. He used his fingers, his tongue, his teeth, his lips. He kissed, sucked, licked and probed, drawing sweet cries out of her and wringing three separate orgasms. "Hands okay, baby?"
"Yes,"
she gasped. He knelt up behind her and very slowly began to push into her. Her muscles were tight, her silken sheath hot as Hades. She tried to push back to force him inside, but he gave her several hard smacks, which only caused moaning. She couldn't move much, and he loved inching in slowly. That burn engulfed him, inch by slow inch. So good. He could barely breathe, and it didn't matter. He wanted to live right there. "Sure you're okay, Sasha?" She had to be. He would stop if he had to, but it was so damn good, a paradise of heat and fire.
"Move. Just move."
"Demanding, little wench." He didn't move, not like she wanted. He liked the hitch in her voice that told him she was burning up the same way he was. He kept pushing into her slowly, exquisitely slow, murderously slow. Sweat broke out on his forehead, beading there, that kind of slow. Finally, finally, he was seated all the way, his cock pushing against her cervix, the ring of flames holding his shaft like a vice of pure fire. He threw his head back, one hand kneading the cheeks of her ass, feeling the amazing reaction. Every time he massaged deep or smacked her, a wave rippled through her sheath so that without him moving, she clamped down. 1,000 tiny tongues stroking, 1,000 muscles milking his cock. The sensation was incredible. He was very cognizant of her hands and legs being bound. He couldn't get her comfort out of his head and decided that maybe tying his woman wasn't for him. Still, he liked that she couldn't move and he had complete control. With Sasha, that wasn't bound to happen too often. He loved her beyond anything he ever thought he was capable of. Maybe it was because he was aware he could have lost her at any moment, or maybe it was because she made him feel alive when he hadn't for a very long time. "Get moving," she demanded, sounding like she was gritting her teeth. He threw his head back and laughed, sheer joy bursting through him. "You're such a bossy little thing," he said, holding her still, keeping the same slow, burning movements. He leaned forward and kissed the nape of her neck. His fingers dug into her hips, and he surged into her, burying himself deep, feeling the fire race up his spine. "That hard enough for you, baby?"
"No, and faster."
He obliged because the need in her voice overcame the need in him to tease her. He took some things seriously, and pleasing his woman was at the top of his list. He forgot about everything when he was inside her, that hot paradise. He loved when they were sharing the same skin, when they were so connected there was no one else in their world.
"I'm so close, Giovanni,"
she whispered, her voice ragged, panting. "Hurry, baby." He loved that, too. His woman waiting for him. She didn't have to. He felt the tension in her coiling tighter and tighter, the way her body gripped his. He was beginning to know her body so well, every nuance. She was close, her breath hitching. The moans that grew into a musical of hunger and need. Her voice, so soft and plaintive, so demanding and bossy, played over him, adding to his building pleasure. Then there was no holding back, no possible way. "Come with me, baby," he whispered. "Be with me." He felt it moving through him, rising like a volcano, while her body clamped down, those tight muscles milking him. Hot seed splashed over her walls, claiming her, branding her, causing ripples and quakes that sent more fire crashing through him like a perfect storm of intense beauty. He fought to catch his breath, his fingers working at the knots and ropes to get them off her. Still buried deep, he rubbed at her ankles and wrists, making certain there was plenty of blood flow. It disturbed him to think that might have made her uncomfortable. "You okay, Sasha?"
"More than okay. But I can't move.
If you expect me to do anything but fall asleep, you're going to be disappointed." She had moved from the position he'd put her in. She was still over the pillow, her legs drawn up. Only her arms had moved. Now she was hugging the pillows. Her braid hung in a thick rope, the sheets wet under all that hair. "Baby, just roll over." She was in the middle of the bed. He was still kneeling behind her, his body buried deep.
"Go away. I'm not moving. I think you killed me."
"You couldn't talk if I did you in," he reasoned.
His arm slid around her, and he leaned his body over hers, blanketing her.
"I suppose I could go to sleep right like this."
"Yes, that's perfect. I like you in me."
He felt her love surround him, hold him. He'd always known the love of his family, of Stefano. But this was different, and it moved him. The contentment in her voice made him feel as if he was everything to her. He wanted to be everything to her. He ran his hand down her body and over her bottom possessively.
"I love being in you, and once here, I never want to leave," he admitted. I don't know how I survived without you. That's the fucking truth, baby. I don't know how I got up in the morning, got through the day, and went to bed at night. I know I've never laughed so much. I never felt so much joy. You make me feel alive. I love you, Giovanni. Me or my cock? Her laughter was muffled by the pillows. That's a difficult choice. I'm very much in love with you, the man, but you are arrogant and bossy. Your cock is pretty spectacular, although, now that I think about it, it can be arrogant and bossy as well. He smacked her ass for that. She yelped, and then spoiled the glare she shot him by giggling. My cock is perfection. Oh, my God! You're such a man. Thank you. That wasn't a compliment. I want to go to sleep now. I can't take much more of your macho bullshit. Speaking of which, your brother Vittorio scares the crap out of me. Talk about macho. Vittorio? He's my nicest brother. He shouldn't scare you. Seriously, babe, he's a good man and one you can always count on. Very slowly and reluctantly, he pulled out of her. Her body shuddered as the action of dragging his heavy cock over her muscles caused more friction and sent another ripple of pleasure moving through her. He hated missing that. He detested not being inside of her. He caught her folded-up body in his arms and rolled, nearly taking them both off the side of the bed. She burst out laughing as he threw himself back toward the middle of the bed, taking her with him. They landed back on the stack of pillows. "Cool move, Mr. Suave." He caught up one of the pillows and hit her with it very gently. She wasn't nearly as gentle in retaliation. The next thing he knew, they were in a full-blown pillow fight. He was definitely the loser because he spent more time looking at her naked body and making certain he was careful not to hurt her than he did protecting himself. She wasn't nearly as careful about being gentle with him. They both collapsed on the bed, and she flung her arms out wide and stared up at the ceiling. "Babe?" "Right here, Sasha." He stretched out beside her. "You have stars on your ceiling." "Really?" He'd had the house built. He'd needed escape routes, hidden hallways and rooms. "I never noticed that." She turned her head, and he felt the impact of her eyes. He loved those sapphire eyes, so startling blue. Now they regarded him with so much love in them, he felt his heart stutter in answer. He rubbed his palm over his chest. "I'm really in love with you, Giovanni." Her voice was a soft whisper. He heard the love. "I never want you to think this is about your money or your power. This is about you, the man. You make me laugh. You make me feel beautiful. I love the way you are with Sandlin and the care you take of him, even though you barely know him. I can't ever explain to you what that means to me. I just want you to feel loved, and I swear I'll spend a lifetime making you feel that way." He found her hand and brought it to his heart. "I feel the same way about you, Sasha. I love you very much. I'm sorry I didn't listen to you earlier, the way I acted toward you in the club after I saw you with that actress. That was so wrong. I felt raw and afraid and angry, but it wasn't at you. You didn't deserve the way I treated you. And in the end, through my stupidity, I put all of us in danger." "That's not true," he denied. "No, it is. I should have listened to you. Sasha, the fact that this bastard tried to bring down the ceiling on the patients at the center tells me he doesn't care who he hurts. I was feeling angry and pretty raw myself. Don't beat yourself up because you're human. Do you believe it's Aaron?" He stared up at the ceiling, at the stars swirling around above them. "Did he? Did he think Aaron was capable of such hatred and jealousy that he'd hurt everyone around, Giovanni?" "I don't like to think so," he mused. "Aaron had a rough childhood, but he pulled himself up out of that by his fists, by his feet. He literally fought his way up. He's good, too. There was no fixing fights or anything underhanded. Aaron is where he is because of his determination and skill. That skill was hard won, practicing every day, working at his craft, honing it, finding people who could help him make it better. He worked hard and had the discipline to get up every day, whether he was hungry or not. Just get up and work.
You admire him?
Damn right I do. I know what it takes to work like that. I had Stefano driving me, my duty to my family. Aaron had to find that drive in himself. He had to be the one who forced himself up on those days he wasn't feeling like it. Motivation only goes so far when you're doing it yourself, but he managed. Would Aaron be so jealous of you that he would be willing to kill me, kill my brother, hurt people? Giovanni thought that over. It was a good question. Aaron might have reason to be jealous. It looked as if Giovanni had everything, but Aaron had never struck him as that kind of man. He was too busy working his way to the top to feel jealousy. He had goals and kept his eye fixed on them until he accomplished them. When he did, he set new goals. "I don't know, baby," he said softly, but he was shaking his head. "I just can't see Aaron doing all this. Of course, I would never have believed he would lie to you and say we competed for women. Why would he do that unless he was motivated by jealousy?" That was the one note that struck the biggest chord of argument. It made no sense that Aaron had lied to Sasha unless he was jealous. He sighed. "I hate like hell to think this has been Aaron all along. And what set him off, if it is? You? He was there that night, but he had at least three women fawning all over him. He was drunk, and that's unusual. Believe me, it isn't his normal unless he's been drinking. Aaron stays away from booze and women because he trains daily. A night out like that is rare, and having the women and the alcohol fogging up his brain." He closed his eyes. "Deal." It exploded out of him. "I don't want this to be Aaron. I really don't. I hate that he's in any way attached to it." He knew the hurt in his voice showed, and that embarrassed him. He was a man, and in his world, a Ferraro didn't show weakness. Allowing an outsider to hurt him showed he still had vulnerabilities, and those weren't tolerated. That was a direct edict from his mother. She made certain they never showed real emotion in public. Their circle only included family. While other members of the family were allowed outside friendships, Ryders were not. He rubbed his eyebrow, keeping his eyes closed, afraid of giving too much away to her, afraid she would think less of him. He felt her move, roll, so she was pressed to his side, and then she draped her body over his, almost as if she were protecting him. He opened his eyes and looked up to the mirrored tiles cut in the shape of stars, surrounding the golden light still shining down on them. On her, Sasha. He could see the line of her back, all that smooth, silky skin. The curve of her spine as it met her buttocks, those dimples and the swell of her cheeks. One still carried a flush of rose where his hand had been. Without thinking, he covered the spot and began to rub. Her face was buried in his throat, and her arms were flung out to wrap around him. He felt the press of her soft breasts pushing into the heavy muscles of his chest. Her legs wrapped around his. She looked beautiful, enticing. More, she looked as if she would fight off an army for him. His love felt so large, so encompassing, it actually hurt. Physically hurt. His heart felt as if it could shatter. Giovanni didn't say anything to her. He just stroked her hair and her butt. He loved the feel of both, all soft silk and satin. After a few minutes, her breathing evened out, her breath warming his skin. "You asleep, baby?"
"Just drifting."
"Marry me. Right away. Let's get married. We can marry at the center. Sandlin can give you away. He'd love that. I know he could do it, and he'd be happy to."
"Honey."
She moved her head, rubbed her chin along his chest, and then looked at him. Her eyes met his.
"I'm not going anywhere."
He concentrated on rubbing her bottom. "I love your ass." He did. He was an ass man. Well, he was also a breast man. Right now, he could see that biteable, spankable bottom. So he was all about her ass. But if she rolled over, his fickle cock would be all about her breasts. Good, because I'm madly in love with your cock. I love how it feels right now, pressed against me. I'm thinking about going to sleep with it in my mouth. I used to suck my thumb when I was little. It drove my mother crazy. I might have to have a substitute to get to sleep. You're supposed to be so exhausted you can't move. Well, I can't. I'm contemplating whether or not I have the energy to put my plan into action, or whether I'll have to wait until tomorrow night. While you're contemplating, consider marrying me immediately. We'll get a license and get Goodman to agree. He will. He wants a new wing and more equipment. He also wants a Ferraro on their board. It always helps with fundraisers. He's gouging you for money because my brother's there. That's not right. That's the way the game is played. We could do some good, though, baby. I've been thinking about it. I hate that you've had to work so much just so your brother could have decent care. There are so many families that can't afford the center, families with loved ones that really could benefit from the therapy. We could establish a scholarship in your brother's name and pay for the care and therapy of recipients. He felt her swift intake of breath. Her eyes met his again. Liquid turned the sapphires to sparkling gems. You would do that? We would do that, Sasha. What's mine is yours. Remember? There isn't a divorce in the conventional sense of the word. If our shadows are pulled apart, you would never remember being married to me. All the pictures in the world won't allow you to remember. The money belongs to my family. We might be wealthy and have the ability to use the money any way we want, but in a divorce, the family trust can't be broken. What that means is, there isn't a prenup. Once we're married, all you have to do is say, I would like to build another wing onto the center, and we get the people in place to make it happen. I don't know if I'm ready for that. Reluctance was clear in her voice. Then put the money aside. Are you ready for being with me, living here with me, being part of my crazy family? I want to be with you more than anything, Giovanni. Tonight really showed me that trying to stay away from you wasn't going to work. And I hated that I put you and everyone else in danger because I was so confused. You're allowed. Marriage with someone like me is a big step. I know coming into my world can seem overwhelming, but I swear to you, baby, I'll take care of you. I'll be with you every step of the way. I want to keep working. In the club? Maybe not there, but I like working. Have you considered a stable of horses? We could put riding trails in the park, and you could take kids out occasionally. Kids with disabilities who might not be able to ride otherwise. The world is open to you, Sasha. Once we're married, if you want to quit the club, whatever dream you have, you can do. I never thought of something like that here in Chicago. You're amazing. Horses actually are very good for therapy. I had been taking classes before my parents' accident with the idea of using horses for therapy, but then I stopped just short of my degree when they were killed and Sandlin was injured. You must be psychic. He wasn't about to tell her the investigators, both teams, had been digging up everything they could on her once he showed real interest. Say you'll marry me immediately, and then we have to get some sleep. He was the one to take advantage when he knew he had it. She laughed softly. You have a one-track mind. Is there a reason you're hesitating? Everyone is going to think I'm pregnant. His cock jerked. She laughed. Oh, my God. You're hoping I'm pregnant. Then you'll have to marry me. No one has to marry in this day and age. Women can cope with having a child without marriage. He smacked her ass hard. You are deliberately making me suffer. Admit it. She laughed again, her body squirming over his, rubbing deliciously over his growing cock. Absolutely I am. Yes, I'll marry you, because if I don't say yes, we'll never get any sleep. We'll get sleep, he said, and rolled her to her side. Because I'm going to make sure your mouth is so stuffed full, You can't talk any more now that I've got your promise." She laughed softly and slid her body down just enough in the bed that, when he turned on his side, she could slide his cock into the hot haven of her mouth.
Chapter 18. The rifle was registered to Aaron, Stefano said, reaching across the table to pull the bowl of pasta to him. He was arrested and taken into custody this afternoon. Sasha gasped and looked up at Giovanni. His face was absolutely blank. He could have been carved from stone. She put her hand on his arm. It felt like a block of marble, not real flesh and blood.
"I'm sorry. I know you didn't want it to be him."
"It isn't him." Giovanni's voice held absolute conviction. No way would he ever use that rifle and then drop it. It wasn't his. His friend was a sharpshooter. They went through boot camp together and deployed together. His friend was killed in a shootout when they were on a routine patrol. Aaron hauled his body back and that rifle. The widow gave Aaron the rifle. She kept his tags and the flag. Aaron might have used a different rifle to try to kill me, but not that one. He showed it to me and told me it was the only rifle he kept in his house. There was silence while his brothers and sisters all let that sink in. Taviano handed Stefano the spaghetti sauce. It was Taviano's recipe, and Sasha thought it could win awards. "He has no alibi for any of the times something happened," Stefano continued very calmly. "He claimed in each case he'd either been alone, asleep, or he'd been alone in his home gym training." "It isn't him," Giovanni said stubbornly.
"If not Aaron," Vittorio said,
"then who?
And why?" Emanuele said. "None of this makes sense, especially if it isn't Aaron. Who is targeting Sasha and you? Even Sandlin?"
"Sasha, are you very certain you have no enemies? Sandlin? Could the driver of the other vehicle blame him and want the two of you dead?" Rico asked. She gave it some thought. She hadn't lived a fast-lane lifestyle. "My life was easy and uncomplicated. I worked on the ranch, went to school, and barrel-raced. I didn't leave a string of broken hearts behind me. I grew up with the boys there. We were more like brother and sister than sweethearts. I swear there isn't anything I did that could have prompted this kind of retaliation."
"Sandlin?"
Stefano prompted, heaping pasta and spaghetti sauce on Francesca's plate.
"Stop!"
Francesca caught his arm.
"That's too much."
"No, it isn't."
His voice brooked no argument. Instantly, all eyes were on Francesca. She moved closer to her husband.
"I can't possibly eat that much. And all of you, stop staring at me."
"You're so pregnant," Emanuele said.
"Aren't you?"
"It's too early to get excited,"
Francesca protested.
"I've lost two already. The doctor says there's no reason, but I didn't want anyone to know because it's so horrible when I don't carry."
Her eyes filled with tears.
"That's why it was so much easier to say she hadn't gotten pregnant," Stefano said.
"Or," he corrected, "to imply it. She's edging toward the 3-month mark. She lost the others at 6 weeks, so I think we're past the crisis point."
"Maybe she should be lying down," Vittorio said.
"I'm for that," Rico agreed. "Stefano, shouldn't she be on bed rest?"
Francesca groaned.
"None of you start. You know Stefano's bad enough. I'm not going on bed rest unless the doctor says it's necessary, which he hasn't."
"Yeah, well, not all doctors are bright," Taviano said.
"Some of them pay no real attention to their patients. We should make this decision, not the doctor, who probably can't remember her name."
Sasha nearly stuffed her napkin in her mouth to keep from laughing. They were all insane. She was very glad she wasn't Francesca. Stefano was bad enough, but if all the brothers were going to have an opinion on the pregnancy, it was going to be a very long 9 months.
"The doctor knows her name," Stefano assured. "He's being paid to care for Francesca, day or night, at home. He's one of the best in his field."
Sasha was fairly certain that translated into being the very best. Her eyes met Francesca's, and the two women smiled and shook their heads at the same time.
"What do you think about bed rest?"
Vittorio asked Stefano. His tone implied all kinds of things,
The doctor was crazy, and Vittorio's woman would already be lounging in a bed. Sasha raised her eyebrow at Giovanni. He had to see Vittorio wasn't as laid back as they all thought him to be. He might be their diplomat, but she suspected he could be the diplomat because he was in control at all times. He was that disciplined. "I believed bed rest was needed," Stefano conceded. "But Dr. Hansen convinced me that there was an entire set of new problems with bed rest. So far, she's had a little spotting, but that's cleared up and the baby is growing at the correct pace. He doesn't see any complications so far." "What about with Francesca? Does he say she can carry without risk to her?" Vittorio asked. Again, his tone implied that would have been his first question to the doctor, and if there was a risk, his woman wouldn't be pregnant. Sasha rolled her eyes, and Mariko hid a smile. Francesca hissed out a breath of exasperation. "Francesca is right here, Vittorio. You could ask me." "You wouldn't tell me the truth, or at least you'd soft-soap it. What did the doctor say, Stefano?" Francesca half-heartedly threw a piece of sourdough bread at Vittorio. He picked it out of the air without even looking her way. "He said we would evaluate more as she gets further along. So far, there are no complications or dangers to her." "I'm very sorry about the two losses," Sasha said to both parents. "That must have been so difficult on both of you, especially since you didn't tell anyone." She couldn't help remembering that Giovanni had told her how cruel Eloisa had been to Francesca. Of course, she had no way of knowing Francesca had suffered two miscarriages. It was no wonder Stefano wanted to protect his wife from his mother. She couldn't imagine how painful that must have been for both when they wanted children so badly. "Thank you," Stefano said, reaching out to take Francesca's hand. "Getting back to the subject at hand, we were talking about this thing with Aaron and whether or not the attacks could be coming from something in your past." Sasha shook her head as she finished chewing another bite of spaghetti. She really had to watch her weight if she was going to eat Taviano's cooking. It was that good. "Definitely not me. My life has been pretty unremarkable." "Well," she hedged, "until I met Giovanni." She couldn't help looking at him. They'd spent 2 days in his house, worshipping each other's body, sleeping and eating and starting the cycle all over again. Sometimes they skipped eating and sometimes they skipped sleeping. She hadn't tired of him, or them, not for a moment. Just looking at him brought those memories into her mind. All the images, the ways he'd taken her, the things he'd introduced her to, all of which she'd loved, even those she'd been a little intimidated by. This morning, she'd surprised him by insisting he lie still while she had her wicked way with him, and she'd even used rope to tie his hands so he couldn't move. He moved. He wasn't a man easily kept down, especially when his body was hard and hot and very ready. Sasha blushed when their eyes met. He knew what she was thinking. That moment he'd flipped her over, the way he'd taken charge. Of course, she'd primed him. She knew at some point, if she kept teasing him, it was going to happen. The blush became a full-body blush. "What about Sandlin?" Stefano prompted. Everyone was looking at her, grinning. Her color deepened. "Well, he was very popular with the ladies, and he dated a lot. He was never engaged or even with one girl exclusively, at least not since high school. I don't think it could be that. He had friends, and very rarely got into arguments. Sandlin wasn't like that." "The accident?" Rico prompted. "Could someone blame him? You said he was driving." She took a deep breath, hating to think about that night. The call, the hospital, the sheriff trying to talk to her, to keep her calm when she wanted to go to her parents, her brother. It had been a terrible nightmare. She pushed that aside and tried to remember the other family. The woman was drunk, horribly drunk. She had children. I remember them being there. They weren't crying. I was. I was sobbing so loud and I couldn't stop. I'm pretty certain I was so loud no one in the hospital could possibly have been sleeping that night. The two of them, both boys, teens, I think, just stood there against the wall, their father telling me over and over how sorry he was.
His wife walked away without so much as a broken bone.
"We've already checked into the family," Taviano said. "The report is the woman is still a drunk, so much so that I doubt she could orchestrate any of this. The man moved away with his two sons, and they live in Oregon now. They seem happy. We're still keeping a close eye, but again, nothing adds up there. That leads us back to Aaron," Emanuele said. "I'm with Giovanni. I don't think it's him. I think it's too much, all that evidence piling up against him."
"Let's look at this another way," Mariko said suddenly. "If all this evidence against Aaron was manufactured, his credit card actually stolen to purchase bomb materials, the picture of Sasha stolen from his phone, the rifle that he had to have kept safe in his home, all that kind of adds up to the fact that whoever is doing this is very close to him."
Giovanni's head jerked up. "Mariko, I want to kiss you right now."
"Well, don't," Rico all but growled. Laughter spilled around the table. Giovanni nearly crushed Sasha to him. He set her back in her chair and blew a kiss across the table at Mariko in defense of his brother.
"It's so fucking obvious now that you point it out. I wasn't looking at that. To beat the shit out of Raimondo, he has to be a pro. What the hell was wrong with me? Aaron's friends are all in the same profession. What if this isn't about Sasha, Sandlin, or me? What if this is about Aaron?"
There was a stunned silence. They had been so focused on Giovanni and Sasha that they hadn't considered that at all.
"Aaron lived on the streets for years. He fought his way to the top. He's disciplined and goal-oriented. He would mow down anyone in his path trying to stop him. He had to have stepped on other mixed martial arts fighters' careers. He defeated a number of really good fighters to get where he is. Any one of them could be an enemy."
Giovanni sounded almost relieved, and Sasha put one hand on his thigh under the table in order to comfort him. She knew how he felt about Aaron. She knew he'd been hurt. He really didn't want to think that his friend would orchestrate everything that had happened, including the fire that could have swept through multiple buildings, destroying livelihoods. Giovanni smiled at her and put his hand over hers, pressing her palm deeper into the heated muscle of his thigh.
"We've got to find this bastard and stop him."
"Should we call Vinci and ask him to represent Aaron?" Taviano asked. Stefano shook his head.
"It's actually better if Aaron is locked up. We don't know for certain there is someone else, but let's assume there is for now. Whoever is trying to frame him can't very well do anything else while he's in jail, or the frame won't work. Everyone is safe for the moment. We can concentrate on figuring out who he is and set up a con. That's when we'll pull Aaron out."
"Who would have motivation?" Sasha asked. The heat from Giovanni's thigh nearly scorched her palm right through the material of his slacks. She began to rub her hand up and down his thigh.
"Any of the fighters he defeated on his way to the title," Emanuele said. "Aaron told Sasha I competed with him for women."
"What the fuck?" Stefano snapped. "I should go pay that little asshole a visit. Teach him a lesson about lying to one of our women. We fuck up enough on our own without having that kind of shit spread around."
The fact that Stefano was so outraged made Sasha realize that none of Giovanni's brothers would compete for women and then drop them. It wouldn't happen. She hadn't believed Giovanni, but it was nice to know none of the others would either. The point is, if he said that, did he do it? If he did and won, would the woman be angry with him? Would the loser? What if the woman was someone the loser really wanted? Emanuele asked.
If the loser really wanted a woman, would he risk her on a bet?
Vittorio asked.
He didn't want her that bad if it happened, and he deserved to lose her. What about Meredith Benson?
Everyone at the table turned to look at Sasha. She'd expected it, but she still blushed.
I'm not jealous just because Giovanni kissed her.
I didn't kiss her, he denied, just like she knew he would. She kissed me.
Is there a difference?
She widened her eyes at him.
There will be a discussion at home about this.
A frisson of excitement crept down her spine and her sex clenched. Her fingers bit into his thigh and crept closer to his cock. She was very happy to think about what kind of discussion they'd be having once they got home.
I'm just saying,
The woman set it up so the paparazzi would take pictures of her planting one on my helpless man for an imagined slight. Perhaps she's mental enough to go to all the trouble of framing a friend of his. Even to herself, it sounded a little lame. It sounded much better when she was thinking about it. I already asked the investigators to check her out, Stefano said. She has an alibi for every single night, but someone paid that worm to attack Giovanni and you at the club, so maybe she paid someone to do all this. I just don't think she's that stupid. Sasha didn't feel so much like a jealous woman. She really wasn't concerned about the most beautiful woman in Hollywood. Who would be? Giovanni leaned close. Stop it, he whispered. He opened her fingers and pressed her palm over his thigh. She hadn't even realized she'd closed her fist. Just so you're all aware, in the middle of this fucked-up mess, Sasha has agreed to marry me immediately. We've already gotten the license, and we'll be negotiating with Goodman today to get married in his facility, so Sandlin can be with us. We thought taking him out of his environment would be upsetting to him. The doc noticed that if he's forced out onto the grounds and away from the sitting room or his own room, he becomes agitated. Sasha looked down at her nearly empty plate. She didn't want to think too much about what that meant. She knew the doctor had been trying to prepare her to lose her brother, but she'd insisted on denial. She was still in denial. If he could only live 3 years, then she wanted every minute of those 3 years. She planned to ask the doctor about a private nurse and Sandlin living with her. First, she had to ask Giovanni, but she knew his answer. When it came to caring for family, his answer would always be yes. Stefano sent her a smile, a legitimate, real smile, the one he generally reserved for a Francesca. When? It has to be very small to be held there. We'll have to do the reception at the hotel so the community can come. I don't want to be the one to tell Signora Moretti that she isn't invited to Giovanni's wedding. Another round of laughter went up. Sasha loved being with Giovanni's family. When they were alone together, they seemed to handle everything easily. The fact that someone had tried to burn down businesses and kill her or Giovanni, very sobering subjects that they all contributed to, but then they'd go into laughter. She loved that. By right away, Emanuele ventured, do you mean in a month? Giovanni nearly spewed coffee across the table. He glared at his sister. I spent all night tormenting her until she agreed to immediately. Sasha smirked. But you didn't negotiate exactly what immediately meant. A month, when it comes to a wedding, is definitely immediately. He glared at her and she wanted to laugh. I'm fully aware you liked your torture a little too much, baby, so I'll be upping the game tonight. When you agree to immediately, that meant in the next couple of days. The women gasped. Emanuele shook her head. Mariko smiled and shook hers as if she thought all men were crazy. Francesca gave her brother-in-law a stern look. No one can put a wedding together in a couple of days. The dress, the cake, the flowers. We have to have the place decorated. To get the best planner can take months, Emanuele said. Baby, you want to marry me as soon as possible, don't you? His voice was pure wickedness. Yes. She could barely get it out. Her lungs felt raw with the need for air. How could a woman love a man so much, so fast? She would do anything for him. He wanted to marry her immediately because of Sandlin. He might want to tie her to him, but more, he wanted to make absolutely certain that her brother would be well enough to attend the wedding and enjoy it. Don't agree to anything, Emanuele said. He's going to pull out all stops to get his way. My brothers think they can boss everyone. You have to stand strong, Sasha. Your wedding day is your day. It's our day, Giovanni corrected. The two of us, baby. He brought her hand to his mouth and kissed her open palm. Right in the center, sending little darts of fire racing straight to her heart. Little arrows. There was no way to tell him how wonderful he was. No way to show him. This wasn't for Giovanni, no matter how much he said it was. Her heart ached with love. Her heart hurt with it. Giovanni and Sandlin, her two men. They'll do anything, Emanuele continued,
You just have to hold out. You promised to be my wife immediately, Sasha, Giovanni said. He was using the voice. His tone was sinful, beautiful. Immediately. Sasha nodded.